is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Here's a good question. I mean, we got a caller. What's his name, Tyler? Who's waiting? Who?
Ocho Texto, I think.
Oh, Ocho Texto. What's up, Ocho? How you doing, baby?
Hey, so what's going on?
Last time I called, I had talked
about wanting the Cardinals to draft CeeDee Lamb at number 8 for local reasons and also make moves to draft Josh Jones. And as it turns out, they could have gotten both without making any moves. Josh Jones fell to them at 72, and they ended up taking another guy at 8. They could have gotten him there, CeeDee Lamb at 8. But my question is, Lance, with them already having DJ Humphries, I think that's his name, and with Josh Jones now on the roster, I guess my question is, how difficult is it moving from one offensive tackle to the other? And what kind of adjustments need to be made? I'm assuming that Josh Jones will be the right tackle and Humphries will remain at the left tackle. So they have some bookend tackles now to protect the greatest quarterback of all time, the legendary Mr. Kyler Cole Murray. So just answer that question for me if you don't mind, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, to start with, I don't think Josh Jones plays this year. I think he plays behind – I don't think he's better than Marcus Gilbert right now. So that draft pick was made, my guess, for probably next year. So I think that Marcus Gilbert will be the starter. Josh Jones on a depth chart I'm looking at, they have him at right tackle as a backup. It can be tough or it can not be tough. It depends on the player's muscle memory. It's a lot of people think it's just easy going from one side to the other, but that's not necessarily the case. My dad found that out with a guy named Max Starks, who's Pittsburgh Steelers. Max Starks was this giant of a man, and the thought was, he's just too big, slow, and lumbering to play left tackle. Even though he had played left tackle, they moved him to the right side, and he just couldn't get his steps down. He just wasn't comfortable, and he was much better on the left side. And it's the same thing with guards. There's some guards who don't process the same way, but tackle's different. Those are certain steps and movements that you have to make. So it's not easy for everyone. But my guess is Josh will be – I think most can do it. But there are some who don't do it well. My guess is Josh will be fine at it. And my guess is Josh Jones will get a chance to start or compete for a starting job 2021. I don't think you'll see him compete for a starting job in 2020.
Why did he last so long?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't heard anything negative about the kid. I haven't heard anything negative like he had an injury or anything like that. All I can think of was he was a lot heavier at the combine than he played at. I think you can ask Dana. I think Josh Jones played below 300 pounds, and at the combine he was 318. And I'll be honest, his workout was not as athletic, and his numbers were not as athletic as everyone was expecting. Everyone expected him to be really athletic and to have, you know, and to look really good in the drills on the field, and he didn't look as athletic. And I think it's because he was carrying too much weight. I think my guess is that he thought it was important to be heavier for the draft. And the reality is, if he had been 308, that would have been fine. But he was a little heavier come draft time. He was 319, 6'5", 319. But on the field, he ran a 5'2", 740. People were expecting in the low fives. Vertical jump, he didn't even hit 29 inches, which they thought he might be, you know, he might show more explosiveness. And then he didn't run the short shuttle stuff. But I think with Josh in the field, he didn't look as smooth in the field drills as expected. And my guess is that kind of hurt him a little bit.
I'm sure Dana got a call from Cliff. You know, they're tight. They work with each other. You know,
absolutely.
And he told him.
Dana was very complimentary, by the way. Josh Jones. Very complimentary of the kid.
He really liked the kid. What about them getting? I like their draft. Simmons and Jones, and then Fotu, and then Rashard Lawrence in the fourth round as well. What kind of grade do you have on Lawrence?
So Lawrence, I was told he's got a lot of injuries. Like, he played through injury the entire year this year, and all I heard about was that this guy is a warrior. You can't get him off the field. It doesn't matter how bad his injury is. He plays. I think that was a concern, though, is that there's a question about how long he'll be able to last and hold up because he's pretty beat up. But I had he got drafted where I had him. I thought he was fourth, fifth. I thought he's a rotational defensive lineman. He's a try-hard guy that's always going to give you great effort. He's going to be a problem for lazy linemen are going to have a real problem with Rashard Lawrence. I just, in the back of my mind, I knew about some of the injury stuff, so I thought he might be able to – I thought he might fall, but I don't think he fell. I think he got drafted about where the tape said to get drafted. I don't think he fell because of injury stuff, to be honest with you. Fotu, to me, he doesn't do as much as he should, but he's a giant monster. He's 6'5", like 334, something like that, 335. He's not like – the kid that came out of Washington a couple of years ago. He's not Haloti Ngata, but he's a big space eater, and that's why Arizona liked him. And we'll see how it goes. I still think Josh Jones could end up being a steal. I think he's going to be an NFL starting offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll be a really good pick for them. And CeeDee Lamb's fine. They drafted three wide receivers last year. They just traded for DeAndre Hopkins. Man, Isaiah Simmons was a much bigger get for them than CeeDee Lamb would have been. CeeDee Lamb fell to 17. Like, teams didn't love CeeDee Lamb, like people thought.
Yeah. I loved his quickness, how he snatched that phone out of that girl's hands. That's quickness.
He's got very fast, very strong hands. You could see his ability to win the catch base.
That's right. Next caller is LSU Brian. He wants to talk about the draft. What do you say, LSU Brian? Congratulations on your draft. 14 players.
That's unbelievable.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. So, yeah, I wanted to ask, I know the Saints, they drafted a center again in the first round. And I know they got the same thing last year. Now, I know, I'm assuming one of the guys, one of the starters is going to be gone next year. So either last year's first round or this year's first round is going to be center, guard, whichever. But, what about the linebacker? I know they got the linebacker in the third. I don't know much about him, so I was curious if you could tell me a little bit about him. And also, how about those Tigers getting, you know, tying a record for the draft pick?
Yeah, 14 was a lot. I expected their long snapper to get. I didn't think their tight end would go. Steven Sullivan. Well, he's really just a bigger wide receiver. I didn't think he would go, but I did expect their long snapper to get picked. I expected the other guys. Yeah, I think I expected the other guys to get picked as well. I'm trying to remember who all went because that's an amazing amount of players. So from what I heard, they're going to get rid of Larry Warford is going to be the guy who's going to be gone. They're going to get rid of – they're going to dump that contract. We'll see if it's sooner or later. But Ruiz is believed to be playing guard for the Saints, and Eric McCoy will play center. So that's why they made that. They obviously believe that one of those guys, both guys have played center and guard, but I didn't watch a lot of McCoy at guard, but one of my offensive line buddies from who trains offensive linemen for the draft, who trains pro NFL offensive linemen and also guys for the draft, he thinks Eric McCoy might even be better as a guard. So we'll see what they do there. I loved who the Saints got in the third round. Zach Bond from Wisconsin. He's kind of a one-year wonder. He was a high school quarterback. He didn't really kick it in. Like, he didn't really get as, I don't want to say motivated, but football didn't just really grip him until a couple of years ago. He was also a good basketball player, and that was his first love. And Bond just, he had a solid junior year, but then last year he just took off. I mean, a monster year, 19 tackles for loss, 10 and a half sacks. They played him on the edge. He is a very fast edge rusher. I thought I didn't know who he was, and he was really flashing big time when I watched their game against Michigan. I thought I couldn't stop watching 56. The reason he fell is because he is smallish for a 3-4 outside linebacker. He's in the 230s, And so that's not really big enough as a 3-4 outside linebacker. And then as an off-ball linebacker or stack linebacker, meaning, you know, a standard 4-3, he's not really he doesn't have a lot of experience. They played him some there at Wisconsin, but he didn't have a lot of experience. He was just very, very average at the Senior Bowl when asked to do it. I asked Mike Mayock about him, like what he thought about making a switch. He goes, oh, Lance, he'll be fine. He just needs time, needs to get – this is at the Senior Bowl. He just said he needs time, he needs coaching, and he needs experience. But he's going to be fine playing that position. He's athletic in coverage. Anzalone's always hurt. I think Bond can end up being one of the potential answers to what Anzalone's supposed to bring, which is covering guys around the field. I think Zach Bond can cover people on third downs or can rush on third downs. He is going to be on my article I turn in on Friday. Zach Bond is one of my top picks in the third round, without question. I love that. And I thought, and I gave a first-round grade to him. That first-round grade also on Justin Reed from the Texans, and he went in the third round. So I think you can find some good players early in the third, which is what happened there. And then the Saints grabbing Adam Trautman. A lot of people had Trautman as the second-best tight end in the draft. For them to get him third at 105, that was a really good deal.
That's good. The Saints had themselves a nice draft with just four guys. And then they traded with the Texans. They traded with the Texans, worked them, and gave up a seventh rounder this year for a sixth next year. That's working the deal. So congratulations to the Texans winning another win. It's another win for the big organization. Taking a break. 713-780-37. If you got a question about your team, you're more than welcome to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. What is it that you want to talk about? Yeah, even if you're a Saints fan or a Cowboy fan or whatever, I don't care. Lance is here for you. As we digest the draft, you got the expert from the NFL Network with you here. So let's go. 713-780-3776. JC wants to talk about the AFC South. What do you say, JC?
Hey, morning, John Lance. So I went on a little bit of an internet rabbit hole yesterday. So I started looking down the AFC South champs since it was established in 2002, and I discovered that the Titans have won the AFC South twice and went to the AFC Championship when they did. The Colts have won it 9 times. 5 times out of those 9, they went to the Super Bowl once, lost the Super Bowl once, and represented the AFC South and the AFC Championship 3 other times. The Texans have won 6 times and haven't made it out of the divisional round. The 4 out of the 5 times with Bill O'Brien, I wouldn't say that it was the worst out of the runs, but it does kind of deflate the argument about Bill O'Brien winning the AFC South and being the dominant force here. So I guess that just brought me back down to the draft. So then we started looking at draft picks, and it looks like the Texans took 5 this year, the Colts took 9, the Jets took 12, and the Titans took 6. So then we started looking at, scores from divisional games last year, and come to find out that, yeah, we swept the Jags, and we split games between the Colts and the Titans, and each one of our victories, we only won by a field goal. And the famous game where the Titans, where we had a win in week 15, we won that with Carlos Hyde producing over 100 yards rushing and Hopkins with over 120 yards receiving.
What's the point? So what's the point here, JC? What's the point?
Yeah,
did we get any better? Did we get any better?
No. No, I don't think so. You mean with this draft? With this offseason?
With the offseason. No, this offseason they did not get better. They did not get better.
With the Colts.
I will say this, though. I will say this, though.
Forrest Buckner.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Colts are better. Yeah, I'll give you that. But they're still unsettled at quarterback, realistically. Titans got better. I think the Texans might have gotten better, John.
I think here's the thing. I think the Texans, now, while you lost your best receiver, I don't think they're going to be – I don't think this is a bad receiver group.
As long as they stay healthy.
As long as they stay healthy. And you got that's the big if. First of all, Fuller has got to, and he hasn't, so there's no reason to believe he will. Secondly, 5 concussions by Cooks is a real problem. Third, Randall Cobb has had his injuries as well, and he hasn't been the same guy since. But if you're good in 2016, then you're going to be highly coveted by this organization. So, no. Listen, if they stay healthy, this is going to be actually a pretty good wide receiver group. Actually, Deshaun is going to – I think he could have some fun. Whether or not – certainly you didn't have to pay. But the dumbest thing – honestly, Lance, the dumbest thing – could well be the David Johnson deal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that was a guarantee that they have to take on. They have to take on the contract.
They took on that money when they could have gotten a third or a fourth round running back that probably would give you the same production at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah,
a small fraction of the cost is exact. And when you give up a second rounder for a guy that you're going to have for 1 year, which is basically, if they have him for 1 year, is this not, I think that this has got a real possibility of being the worst.
Second rounder for.
Oh, no. Yeah, right. When you give up DeAndre Hopkins and get.
You only get a second, but then you also take on. Listen, for taking on David Johnson.
Right, you should have gotten.
That's a Brock Osweiler deal. Right. You should have gotten a draft pick for it.
Right.
Another one. You got the fourth next year, I think, right? I'm pretty sure you got their fourth next year, and then you gave them your fifth. You get their fourth next year along with it. That should be – but you had to also give up a pick. A, you shouldn't have had to give up a pick, and B, I just wouldn't have even taken David Johnson.
No.
I would have said, look, you either want Nuke Hopkins for the second or we're not doing it.
Right,
right. And if you're not – and if we're going to take on this contract, we want a first. We want your first – and
you don't take on the contract. You wait till they cut him, and then you grab him at.
No, you don't grab him at all. Anyway,
if you don't grab, you just don't grab him.
Put David Johnson on your roster.
No,
there's no reason. They're really just like you laid it out, John. There's no reason. Running backs go in a third and fourth round all the time that end up getting playing time.
Right. I mean, it's just. I mean, silly. You know what? There's a chance, well, maybe not. You know, Benjamin, the 7th rounder out of Arizona State that went to the Cardinals, may have a better year than David Johnson. I don't know. May have a better year.
It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
It is possible. Really possible. So I don't know what the point was of that call.
Well, his point is that everyone else, right, when they win the division, they do stuff with it, and the Texans don't do anything with it.
Well, the Texans have had no success, postseason success. Two wins by Bill O'Brien, okay, whatever. Beat Connor Cook, and you beat Josh Allen, and you looked crappy doing it. But okay, so who got better? Who had the best offseason so far in the AFC South?
You re-signed, you franchised and re-signed in Tennessee. I got to see who their signings were. I think maybe the Colts. But the Colts, probably. Yeah, I mean, they got better at quarterback, theoretically, and then they definitely got better in the middle.
They got better on the defensive line.
Yeah.
They got Big Philly. I guess they got better there. Is Marlon Mack done there now?
No, not at all. No, they just want to play total bully ball. They want to hit you with Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor.
Okay. So they got better there.
Yep.
With Buckner.
They got Michael Pittman. They got better there.
They got better there.
A wide receiver. Yeah, I'd say it's the Colts.
Well, now they had to get rid of Titans had to get rid of Conklin, but they picked up his replacement. Whether or not he's going to be
ready, though. They're going to struggle a little bit there.
Yeah. And the Jags had a pretty good draft.
Mm-hmm. I thought the Jags did okay. I just don't know that they're ready. I'm looking at some of the I don't know that the Tennessee Titans got better necessarily. And looking at the thing, I think they were already on a pretty good path. Having Jeffrey Simmons all season is going to be a really, really big deal.
Having Tannehill all season, having keeping your own in Derrick Henry. And then that was huge.
I'm going to tell you what, they are definitely more talented than the Texans. When you look at their roster, Derrick Henry, and then Jonnu Smith, Nate Davis, Ben Jones, Roger Saffold, Taylor Lewan, A.J. Brown was a major factor in 1 year. He was already a major factor. Adam Humphries, Corey Davis. That's a good trio of I think they're weak at right tackle with Isaiah Wilson. He's going to be a downgrade for them right now. They added another running back, who Darrington Evans, who I thought was a third-round caliber, and they got him in the third. But Derrick Henry's a pounder, and Darrington Evans gives you something completely different, which I think is a good thing. They added Christian Fulton to a secondary that, frankly, needs help. I thought Adoree Jackson was terrible at times. I still think that's where you can beat them is over the top. I still think their cornerbacks can be beaten. That's still their Achilles, I would say. Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, Christian Fulton is a rookie. I still think that you can – that's where you got a shot, is beating them through the air. But their ground and pound and their defensive front is pretty good.
It wouldn't be surprising if Christian Fulton isn't on the field a bunch.
Oh, yeah, it's going to have to be.
Yeah.
They're not good in the secondary. He has to be.
Jeffrey Simmons is a beast. Rashawn Evans is a beast. Yeah, they're pretty good.
They got a pretty good roster. They're pretty solid.
And I think, you know what? I think they got a lot of confidence last year getting to the AFC Championship game. I think that they probably went into after that game and went, we're close, guys.
You believe in Tannehill, though? I mean, Tannehill, the game manager, I actually think that can work for him.
I do. You know what? You get ferocious defensively, and they can be. If they get smothering defensively, and they run the we've seen game managers win and win big. Hell, they went into Baltimore and won, dude. They went into Baltimore and punched them in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's
pretty impressive.
That is really impressive.
Yeah, that's not an accident.
827 ESPN 97.5. You know who is impressive? Craig DeCerf.
Craig DeCerf's very impressive, and some of the programs that they have over at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC, they are very impressive. 0% financing for the Chevy Silverado for up to 84 months. Man, I mean, 7 years at 0% financing. Now, what that does for you, a lot of people say, I don't want to do that because you're paying forever. But for people who really want to keep their car payments lower, there's a certain number they want to keep it at, that's a great offer for you. If you are looking for 120 days of no payments and you want to defer your payments for 4 months, now is the time where a lot of people need that. They've got that available for you. The vehicles that are that where they're doing that, you can check them out all for yourself. But it's not just the Chevrolet like the Silverado. They've also got the Buick 0% financing for 84 months and deferred payments for 120 days. How about the GMC Sierra pickup truck, Acadia, and Terrain models? 0% financing for 84 months, deferred payments 120 days. There's never been a better time right now. Gas prices are super low as well, which means a lot of the SUVs are flying off the showroom floor. So make sure that you check out LanceyCars.com to see their entire inventory in stock. They will deliver right to your doorstep, and they make everything touchless and seamless. When you shop online, there's a chat function there. You can get everything done today at LanceyCars.com. It's Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back. Are you a little concerned about that Tyson Foods article yesterday?
I sure am.
Did you
There's a major supply chain breakdown in the food supply. Like, I'm sorry, excuse me?
Yeah. No. So they're going to kill 2 million chickens, apparently, because they can't kill them to sell them. Mm-hmm. What? Wait, what? Yeah, so I went to the grocery store last night. I said, you know what? I better go pick up some chicken. And sure enough, there were two packages of chicken wings left.
You can
because
forget
I'm the chicken.
Chicken
wing master now.
Yeah, you can forget chicken. Chicken's off the shelf.
Chicken is off the – no, I grabbed breasts and then I grabbed wings yesterday. So I'm going to be set for maybe a week. So here's the deal. Here's the secret. Okay, you grill the chicken wings on the low, but you put on, and I went to Del Frisco's this weekend. So I went and got, you know, they do groceries. I got their strip steak last weekend, and they gave me their rub, and I put it on there, and then I put it on one of their burgers too, and I was like, this is the best thing ever. So I went back this weekend, and I said, listen, you got to sell me some of your rub, and he said, it's really going to be difficult because it's salt and pepper. And I said, well, but your salt and pepper tastes different than my. I'm sorry, Arthur. You got to give me that salt and pepper. Okay. Sell it to me. Okay. 20. No, he gave it to me. So here's the deal, though. It's you know why? Because it's kosher salt. That's the difference, Lance.
Yeah.
Kosher, not regular Morton iodized salt. It's kosher salt.
Right.
And now
that's what you use on steaks.
It's Ramadan now. I'm using kosher salt, and I'm going straight to heaven. It doesn't matter right now because I'm good on every religion right now. I am in good shape. Set.
I figured you were using kosher salt already for steak and stuff. It's that thicker.
I'm using Morton's iodized.
No.
That's a huge mistake.
Yeah, no. You want that big, clunky rock salt like looking stuff. Yeah, that's what. So that's the best thing with steak. You can pack it on steak. You're not going to oversalt your steaks. You're fine. You can oversalt chicken, but you're not going to oversalt steak.
No.
But Ronnie, you know what Ronnie Killens told me? Like, when I said, golly, this rub is incredible. He's like, yeah, it's just salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper.
All of it's just salt and pepper. And I'm thinking, this just can't just be salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be. I could swear it almost tastes like coffee bean or something.
No,
there's like a
it's
richness.
It's delicious, isn't
chocolate.
It?
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Tyler,
and I
you
said
know a
regular...
little something about that, right? There's some rubs that are different than
that. Yeah, it's always about like the freshness of the pepper, but I'll tell you what, the secret to seasoning a good steak, do it like 3 or 4 hours before.
That's
put
it.
A ton of salt on it, and the salt actually like
it melts
into the
it.
Meat, and then all the moisture comes back out to the surface, then you don't even have to salt your steak whenever you put it on the grill.
That's what I started doing after I saw Heat, Salt, whatever on Netflix.
Netflix.
And so I started salting, but I'll leave it for 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
I'll leave it on there for a while. You can leave it on even longer because she would pre-salt her steaks, and that's the key. If you do that, man, you get a ton of flavor. You don't cook the salt off.
I got some beef ribs that I'm going to salt up now and then cook them tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be unbelievable. But I made a brisket this weekend too, Lance, salt and peppered it, and the outside was great, but I couldn't get it tender. I cooked it on. I put one side of the grill on low.
Wait, what grill do you have?
And the other side, it's an electric. I mean, yeah, but it's a flame.
Yeah.
But excuse me, it's a gas grill. Anyway, so I put the brisket on the left side, and I didn't turn that side on, but I turned on the other side low, but I still couldn't get it tender.
Man, I have not used a gas grill in over 10 years.
It's so easy, dude.
No, I know it's easy, but it's also easy for me to have my Memphis grill or Traeger. Like, this just in, that's easy, too. I put the temperature on what I want it to be, and then I leave. Beep. And then I'm gone.
And it smokes it. Well,
yeah,
see,
and then a smoker.
Smoke
you had a Traeger forever.
I had a Traeger. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Yeah. But I can't. So I will talk about that, how you get your brisket tender on a gas grill. But that's just good. By the way, so are you excited about 25% capacity in the restaurants this weekend?
My wife is already. Sometimes I don't think my wife takes this seriously enough. We're going into Riel this week. I'm like, hey, whoa. I got to make sure Ryan's even opening. Ryan, I talked to Ryan.
Of course he will. If they say you can, why wouldn't you?
Well, he's got to make sure it's safe for his staff because he cares about his staff. No one's saying screw those people to the staff.
He probably doesn't even have like, the product that they normally would carry.
Yeah, he's been doing to-go. So, well, no, not for the whole menu. You're right. There's certain things on the menu that he doesn't have.
All their
par
levels, they got to figure those back out.
And that's going to really hit restaurants, too. If they start having the meat shutdown, the protein shutdowns at all the plants, that could hit some of the purveyors, although that's more mainstream and widespread.
You talked about the Tyson chicken thing. What about Smithfield, the pork, where
these
plants, they have like almost 300 people, cases of Corona, all in the same plant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does that not worry you at all about buying pork?
That's what I always feel, I don't even want to talk about this whole, the food stuff. Cause they're no, everything's fine with food. I'm like, well, so if they cough on the food, it doesn't matter. But if they cough on silverware, it's good for 4 days. Like what now? Or if you cough on a stainless steel, it lasts for all of eternity. Give me this again. Am I wiping everything down with wipes now? Give me the rules.
Yeah, you're wiping everything down. Did you see, when you bring your groceries home, put them on the floor. Don't put them on the counter. Mm. Put your groceries, your grocery bags on the floor, and when you take your stuff out, you wipe it and you put it away. That's what you do. So you don't put the bags on the counter, which could lead to your countertops having, and then it spreads.
Oh,
but if you put it on your floor and you walk all over it, that's fine.
They say it can stay on your shoe, too. You can put it on your... As long as you got disinfectant wipes, you can put it on your counter and wipe it down.
And don't lick your shoes. That's all.
Yeah, and then wipe it down. But no, I don't know that all the restaurants are going to open, to be honest with you. And talking to a couple restaurant people, you know, restaurant servers, John, a lot of them don't have any insurance at all. And they're not trying to go to the hospital and they don't want to get sick. And they can't afford not to have – it's already hard enough.
What I got from one restaurateur is – They're not minding sitting at home collecting their checks working.
I'm sure you got that from a restaurateur.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Not sure everybody's coming back because they're pretty happy right now just sitting around collecting checks and not working.
I know everybody at Riel, a lot of his staff, they're in there every single night. They're in there 6 days a week. They are serving industry people. They have industry meals anywhere from between 20 people to 100 people come in every day, and then they do their regular service in the evening. And I see the same people in there every single night. So they're not staying at home. I mean, I think it depends on how much they like the chef or the owner or whoever the situation is. But a lot of the restaurants, they can't wait. I know Justin Yu's people are dying to come back, the people who have been laid off, but a lot of them are still working. They just not making as much, right, obviously.
So I know Nick is opening Nick's place.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna be opening. You know, and I said, well, we're coming by, and we're gonna, you know, we'll be right there with you, Nick, to start it up. But you got it's 25% capacity. Staying away. I asked Arthur over at Del Frisco's. I said, are you gonna take tables out? He said, no, we're just probably seat every other table. We're not going to seat every table.
Yeah, LeShane told me it's going to be tricky because they got to figure out how they're even. He said if they do open. They got to figure out how they're going to take, because he said he got bombarded with they left their stuff on open table, where you can get, you know, you can do your reservations. And he said they got bombarded with phone calls within the first 30 minutes of the announcement that they were going to reopen phase one. And I said, that's good. That means people are still, you know, he goes, yeah, but he said, we don't know how we're going to deliver the food to the tables. He goes, there's a lot of processes that every restaurant's going to have to work out. Like, okay, how are we going to set up the tables? We can't have a waiting area. Like, you can't be waiting. If you're here, you're sitting down and you're eating and you're going. There can't be a lot of waiting around. You come in, you eat, you go. There is no waiting area in the bar. Like, well, you can wait by. He said, here's another thing. If people are going to be wearing, he said, if they want us to wear masks in public, I need you sucking down a couple cocktails before you even get started. He said that, you know, that's a big part of the food cost is the beverage cost is the margins. That's where you make your money, yeah, not the food. And so he just said there's going to be a lot of stuff for everyone to work through that they're going to have to go through, like, today, tomorrow.
I mean, if they're going to, they can't eat through their mask, so they have to take the mask off to eat.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
So they can take the mask off to drink as well, so.
Yeah, he just said, you know, he's going to feel more comfortable with people that have been into the restaurant to go. Like, people he knows are being safe, things like that.
What if he calls him scumbag? Then what?
No, you're invited all the time. He goes, that scumbag's never come in once. I was like, imagine that.
No, I've been, imagine what are you talking that. About? You mean during this?
Yeah. He goes, where's that scumbag? I noticed he hadn't been by one time. Tell him thanks. So, yeah, I'll let him know.
I'll be by. Tell him he's far now. When I used to live over there, when I used to live on Montrose, then I would come by.
For his birthday, I went inside and did an OGD shot, too, for his birthday.
Oh, I didn't know it was his birthday. That scumbag didn't call me. So
yeah.
How about that?
I told you.
No, you didn't tell me it was his birthday.
Well, we didn't have a birthday party. It was when we were in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, thank you. That's so high. I can't go in there when it's when
it was didn't matter anyway.
He's having a birthday party. I'm not doing that.
It was irrelevant. You were in the middle of your Lent.
I'm socially conscious.
You're in the middle of your Lent. It didn't matter.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's where it was.
That Granado is the one that everyone hates.
843 ESPN.
Your friends all hate that Granado.
Oh my God, they can't stand me.
Which Granado are you now, by the way?
I'm not really into it yet, so I'm not even I've had a couple glasses of wine. I'm not really into it.
Are you
it
feeling
yet.
Detox? Like, are you getting some jogs in now and whatnot? No, you got a bike. You just got,
I got a bike. Yeah, and now I'm biking. I'm bike guy. Yeah. I'm still golf guy. I'm still golf guy. That's what I always will be. I hope. 843 ESPN 97.5.
And then I get some money.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 7378037776. Clint wants to know, first of all, why did this caller have to go into a YouTube rabbit hole just to find AFC South stats? And then Shane Clint says, man, have you ever been down an actual rabbit hole? It's cray.
He hasn't.
Clint, you haven't been in a rabbit hole. Okay? An actual rabbit hole. That's not what that's just a saying. Mm-hmm. You don't. Stop. Please tell Tyler to stop hitting the brakes on time. That was Art Tyler, who, by the way, Art, last Thursday, you caught it, okay, from Tyler. And I haven't heard, apparently he was correct about you, so there's that.
Hmm.
Tyler shot back finally, and it was well played, sir.
Oh, Art asked this. He goes, did John Granato ever think while growing up on the mean streets of Southside Chicago, he would be a golfer, drink wine, wear $500 golden goose shoes, and enjoy fine dining every day?
I don't do any of those things except golf, okay?
You don't drink wine?
I do drink some wine. Yeah, maybe,
you
maybe
just
I'll have
yourself
a little.
Wine
yeah, but every Italian drinks red wine. That's every, yes. I mean, yes. What are you, crazy? Every Italian drinks red wine.
That's
so
true.
Yes. So.
You think you would have gold in your house?
We don't have gold in our house. My wife likes the color gold, so we have that stuff.
Yeah. You know, he goes, and he's besties with rich guys who own legitimate businesses.
It's some illegitimate. Okay? It's all right. So.
It's not all.
Not all, but
he
some.
He didn't lose all of his edge.
No. All right. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here, you are more than welcome. Okay, so I was just looking through, and I don't know if I should, but Mel Kiper's draft grades. And you don't like to do draft grades, but you did draft grades.
Yeah,
right?
I was forced to.
Right. So, he liked the Ravens. He liked the Colts a lot. Were you crazy about the Colts draft?
No, not really. I thought it was just okay.
No, right?
Yeah. Let me pull them all up. Like, we kind of see picks a little differently. Danny Pinter, I like in the fifth round. Robert Windsor, I'm not a fan. I don't even know Isaiah Rodgers, the cornerback they have. Desmond Patton was the Colts draft was actually it was pretty decent. I like Michael Pittman. I like Jonathan Taylor because they're a ground and pound team and they want to be able to just hammer you with two big running backs. Julian Blackman has an ACL tear. I thought he might go in the fourth, but they got him not for this year, but for next year. Basically, although he did tear it early enough where he could come back this year. He was their third round pick. Jacob Eason, to me, I just think Jacob Eason drafted in the fourth is a chance for you to flip him into the third. To me, that's the Charlie Casherly when he turned Drew Stanton from a sixth rounder into a third rounder or maybe a second and third. That's what I feel like that's what the Colts did there. And I haven't even talked to Ballard, but I feel like Eason doesn't fit what he does. What he likes guys that have the ability to extend plays, and Eason can't do it. But in the fourth round, John, I don't think it's crazy that you could turn him into a future second or a future third.
No, but here's something about a general manager that's doing general manager things that is not worried about not being the coach is drafting a Julian Blackman when you know he can't play this year and you're thinking about the long-term health. And you know what? And Ballard kind of probably, you know what? We're doing okay over here. Yeah, we didn't make the playoffs this year, but we know the year before we did, and we looked pretty damn good doing it. I not that I've got some security, but I feel good in my own skin. I'll draft a guy in the third round that I know can't play this year because I think it's going to be best for the organization long term. Mm-hmm. You know what doesn't happen here? That doesn't happen here. Long term health of an organization.
No. And by the way, their first round pick was DeForest Buckner. I didn't even think about that.
Their first round pick was
DeForest Buckner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal. He likes the Vikings a lot, their draft. Jefferson, Gladney, Cleveland, Dantzler. Now they got 1,000 picks. Holy crap.
Yeah, they had a ton of picks. I like Cleveland and Gladney. I think those are two guys. I mean, Cam Dantzler, not Cleveland. I like Cam Dantzler and Gladney. I think those guys could end up being early starters for them, which is what they need because they let three cornerbacks walk.
And Jefferson will be on the field right away, too.
Yeah, Richard Jefferson's going to step right into a role. So, I mean, not Richard Jefferson. Justin is going to step right into a role. Yeah, I kind of like theirs. Tyree Cleveland, to me, is maybe just a special teamer, but that's fine. He's supposed to be a special teams ace. I like their draft pretty well.
No, it's Ezra Cleveland.
No, Tyree Cleveland. Oh, well, where did Tyree Cleveland go?
Not there. It's Ezra. Offensive tackle.
Yeah, Ezra, that's right. He went 59th, I think. 56th, 59th. He is solid. Solid, can be a starting left tackle in time. I think he might need a year. But I know they want to get rid of Riley Reiff's contract on the left side. So that's why they drafted him, so they can dump that salary. I got to see where Tyree Cleveland went. There's two different Clevelands in this draft. I was wondering why you were mentioning a sixth rounder. Like, yeah, you know, he's
No. Fine, he's, I guess. Yeah, Ezra. We'll see if he gets on the field.
Yeah, Tyree went to Cleveland.
Where do you think Mel ranked? What kind of grade do you think he put on our team?
Mel Kiper?
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a C.
They got a C+.
Okay. That's what I gave him on NFL.
C+?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, half of a tonsil, I don't know if it's the bottom or the top half or whatever, half of a tonsil is the first-round pick, right? So
yeah.
So you got to count that in.
You got half of a tonsil.
You got half
of course,
of a
you
tonsil.
Also have to count. So they get hold on a second. This is a little strange. So they get benefits of giving away two picks because we say the same thing. Well, this pick is also for Tunsil. Next year when we do the same thing, and when they don't have a second-round pick next year, we say this is also for Tunsil.
Right.
I like it better when the Colts say, no, this one pick is for Tunsil.
Yeah, but
only they say Buckner. We got Buckner with just this pick. How many picks are Tunsils? We got a few different Tunsils.
Yeah. But we got half a Tunsil. Not even.
That's not
like
great
40% of a Tunsil.
That's not great value to get 40% of a Tunsil.
Yeah, 40% of a Tunsil. Yeah. That's what they got. So who did you think had the worst draft?
Packers.
Packers, huh? Yeah.
Packers stunk. I mean, they got an H-back with tiny T-Rex arms in the third round. What are you doing? What in the world are you doing right there? That didn't make any sense. The kid from Cincinnati, Josiah DeGuara. Yeah. Why in the world? That's not – you had a better player in Adam Trautman. Granted, you have him ranked differently, clearly. But what in the world were you doing with that one? Jordan Love, I get it. I understand what they were doing there with Jordan Love. Makes sense to me if that's your philosophical. I don't begrudge anyone for having a player graded a certain way on their boards because who's to say I'm right? Sometimes it's how you go about it, though, and if there's a consensus and you go away from the consensus. But Green Bay, I didn't like Green Bay's draft. I'm pulling up the picks. I really didn't like A.J. Dillon in the second round. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That was rich. No one was taking A.J. Dillon there. There's a decent chance he could have been there for you in the third, and you definitely could have moved one of your six-round picks to help you move up if you needed to, or move maybe a couple of six-round picks. They got three offensive linemen in the sixth round. All of them feel like backups, to be honest with you, but maybe one of them will be a functional starter. They got a lazy edge rusher out of Miami that Dell will tell you he's lazy, but he does have some talent, Jonathan Garvin. Kamal Martin in the fifth, I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't make the team. A.J. Dillon, second rounder. I mean, he doesn't play out of a shotgun, really. He's at Boston College. So basically, by them drafting A.J. Dillon in the second round and Jordan Love in the first, what they told you was, we're 100% turning the page on Aaron Rodgers. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, but we're building an offense for a downhill runner like Derrick Henry. Because remember, Matt LaFleur came from the Titans. So he likes downhill rushing attacks like Derrick Henry. Well, A.J. Dillon's 250 pounds. He needs to be downhill. He can't play offset, in a shotgun, and you get those little inside handoffs. That's not his jam. He can't get going like that. He's got to have a run-up so he can get all 250 pounds moving. So as soon as they drafted Jordan Love, I'm like, ooh. When they drafted A.J. Dillon, I'm like, oh, they're going in a different direction offensively and sometime soon, too.
All right. Raheel joins us on the other side right here.
How long do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to play? I feel like he's got four more years.
Yeah, well, they don't. Either that or they're just – value can you get getting rid of Aaron Rodgers next year?
Two twos?
No, that's something else.
Can you get two twos?
Oh, you can get a first for Aaron Rodgers.
Even at 37?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm telling you right now, even though he's not the same quarterback, I feel like Aaron Rodgers could put somebody over the top.
And you're saying Aaron Rodgers is the same value as Matt Schaub. Stop it.
I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers may not play forever. He's also going to cost you way more than Matt Schaub did. He's going to cost you about $40 million.
Yeah, and okay, you know what? You pay what you get what you pay for.
But there's a sliding. No, that's not true at quarterback in the NFL. You don't get what
Aaron
you pay
Rodgers,
for.
It is.
You get what you pay for. Sign Minnesota Vikings.
No, Aaron Rodgers. Again, you're comparing Kirk Cousins to Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure that Aaron Rodgers by next year you get. Honest with you, Aaron Rodgers has not been the same guy over the last few years.
Yeah, except he got to the championship game. Okay? Yeah. I thought they were on the decline tremendously. And a NFC championship. Okay? I mean, what the heck? Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers.
Nah, he's 23 and 15 over the last 3 years. I don't know if he's still the same Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he's still better than a lot of quarterbacks, but
with not much
last
there,
year. Yeah,
look at
yeah.
His offense.
I get that. But I don't
put
know.
Him on a good team that's close. Okay, trade him out with the Vikings right now. Put him on that roster.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be interesting when they decide to get rid of him. A, how much he goes for, considering how expensive he's going to be. Because a lot of times there's a sliding scale that works the other way if you're super expensive. And then B, my guess is he's still going to have enough left in the tank to get the right team over the top. I'm looking around the NFL right now thinking Cam Newton can't find a home because not a lot of teams need quarterback right now.
Well, Raheel needs to get on the
Dallas
air.
Dallas needs quarterback, but
Raheel needs to get on the air. So we need to talk about Patrick Chastang and Joe Chastang and being in business since 1933 here in the city of Houston. I mean, that is ridiculous. How do you sell cars since 1933? That's close to 90 years of selling cars in this area. You know why? And a lot of people didn't even know who what is Chastang? We never heard of it because they didn't advertise. They did more return and referral business. 85% of their business was return and referral. That is unbelievable. You know why people return and why they refer? Is because they get the best deal there. You can go virtually now, go online, get your virtual deal done. They will show you the cars. They'll do everything. You can stop by. Patrick says, man, we do an unbelievable job of keeping it clean and sanitizing and make sure that everybody is safe at the dealership. Service your car. They'll pick it up. They'll fix it. They'll sanitize it, and they'll bring it back to you. 84 months with no interest, that is ridiculous. That's 7 years. No payments for 6 months. That's ridiculous. Nothing down. It's unbelievable the deals that they've got at Chastang Ford, and you can do it all from your house, or you can go. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that Ford car truck, they'll tell you right now, we will compete with price. We ain't scared of giving you the best deal at Chastang Ford.
Houston's only FM sports station is now bringing you more talk with less commercials.
I heard so much talk.
Making that commute to work even better, even if it's just from the kitchen to the living room.
So, yeah, there's a lot of advantages.
ESPN 97.5.